2 Timothy chapter 3, just going to kind of give an introduction tonight in verse 1. I want to read the first five verses, and we just want to cover verse 1 again, sort of like an introduction. We're going to title this Last Days and Perilous Times. He said, beginning in verse 1, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Heavenly Father, we do ask again your blessings upon the reading of your precious word tonight. And Lord, we pray that you speak to us from this text and by thy Holy Spirit. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We finished up chapter 2 last week in verses 22 through 26. We titled that Youthful Lust. Tonight, again, Last Days and Perilous Times. We're going to camp out here in this chapter and spend some time in it. A few years ago, we preached two messages, a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, from this particular text. Now, this chapter could be divided in two ways. Verses 1 through 9, we have a warning, speaking of the apostasy to expect in society. And then in verses 10 through 17, we see the remedy. In other words, the remedy is the Holy Scripture and a holy life. So we see there, it's not just all gloom and doom as we read through this, but it is describing the apostasy that we are to expect in society. And then the encouragement is especially verses 10 through verse 17. We have the Holy Scripture by which we can live a holy life in an ungodly society. You'll notice in verse 12, and he said in verse 12, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So we find that the godly will always be hated by the ungodly. It shocks us sometimes when we see that or think about it, but we're told this in Scripture. Now, we hear a lot today about end-time prophecy, and a lot of books, a lot of preaching, a lot of videos, DVDs, and so forth on this. But when we think of the signs of the times, yeah, there'll be things that'll take place in the heavens, but what we have here in this passage, we're not looking at the stars in heaven. All we have to do is look at the moral depravity on the earth. And this is some of the major signs that we see. Now, the Apostle Paul here, speaking to Timothy, he gives a list of 18 different characteristics of human depravity in the last days. Verse 13, we find that he also says, I read verse 12 a moment ago, in verse 13 he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." These are the things that we will see in society. We see today, they were in the past, they will be in the future. But again, we have great encouragement from the Lord through the latter part of this chapter. So, in verse 13, he says that these things started pretty much in the day of the Apostle Paul and will continue to increase throughout the history of the church. Now, verse 1 again, he said this, he begins this, he said, "This know also." In other words, what to expect in the future, what to expect even from Paul's day on until the time in which we live. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I want to focus in on two things here. We've covered these at different times in the past. But I want to focus, first of all, on the expression last days. And then before we close tonight, we'll say some things about the expression here, perilous times that shall come. Now let's talk about a little bit the last days. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to just read four or five scripture and make some comments on them. Now when we see the expression latter times, latter days or last days, as I read these, I believe that he's speaking of the present age in which we live, beginning with Christ's first coming and ending with Christ's second coming. Now, that's my opinion of this expression. There's different expressions. The Apostle Paul even speaks in 1 Corinthians 10:11, spoke this somewhere around 57 AD. He speaks of the end of the world, speaking to the church there at that time. So, in my opinion, as I look at the scripture, we are living in the last days. Those last days began with the Lord Jesus Christ's coming. We were in a text last week in Luke 16 and verse 16, speaking about the kingdom of God, and it spoke about the Old Testament and how it came up until John the Baptist. John was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ and speaks about those who are pressing into the kingdom. So there's that distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's also a distinction, and we'll turn to Hebrews later, but I'll just read this one verse. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13, and the whole context of Hebrews 8 is dealing with the Old Testament and New Testament, or the Old Covenant and New Covenant. And the first part of the chapter is dealing with the Old Covenant. Then he speaks about Christ being the mediator of a better covenant. He calls it the new covenant. And he describes forgiveness and salvation through the new covenant and God's mercy to us. But in verse 13, he makes this statement, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. See the transition between the Old and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and what we refer to as the New Testament. And when the writer of Hebrews, we believe to be the Apostle Paul, the time he's writing this, you're not a long ways off from the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. Now, we know that the New Covenant was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it began, we have a real good picture of it, especially at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But what we find is that the Jews, not the believing Jews, but the Jews continue to sacrifice under the Old Testament concept at the temple until the Lord destroyed it with a Roman army in AD 70. So that's why he says here, speaking of the new covenant, he's made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. In other words, that temple would be destroyed. They couldn't give a sacrifice anymore. And to this day, they've not been able to give a sacrifice in Jerusalem. Well, notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading in verse 1 and 2, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So we see again a different wording here, but he mentions the latter times. Now notice with me in Hebrews chapter 1, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, I'm going to read in chapter 1 and also in chapter 9. Again, there's several times we see this. Now, we've been living, in my opinion, of what I think I see in Scripture, we've been living in the latter times, the latter days, since the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might just say we are now in the last days of the last days. I don't know whether we don't know when Christ is coming, but there's a possibility we might could use that expression. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, again we see here the distinction between the Old Testament and New. He said in verse 1, God who at sundry times, that means many and different times, and in diverse manners, that is in many different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So up until John the Baptist came on the scene, the Lord spoke all through the Old Testament through the prophets. But notice in verse 2, hath in these last days, this is beginning with Messiah, with Christ, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So the Lord has spoken to us in these last days. When Messiah came, when Jesus Christ came, he began speaking to the world. Notice in Hebrews 9, Hebrews chapter 9, and there's more verses than what I'm going to give you tonight on this, but these are just a few. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 is the verse I'm after, but I'm going to begin in verse 24 through 28 and then back up to verse 26. He said this, now this is speaking of Christ, his ascension, and what, and also before that, what he accomplished on earth. It also speaks of his second coming. He said in verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this a judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So we have his first coming, his ascension back into heaven. We have his second coming all in these verses. Now verse 26, it says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As in 1 Corinthians 10:11, he speaks of the end of the world here in the time that Christ came and died. In other words, it's the latter times, the last days that begin with the first coming, in my opinion, and end with the second coming. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 19. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. He says in verse 19 and 20, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ was manifest when he came to shed his blood, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the first century to take away sins, to die for sins. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We've got some sermons beginning way back in 2010 and 11. On the last days, we have one in 2019, the last day that I'll mention in just a few moments. 2022, we did preach from 2 Timothy 3. We preached two sermons in one Sunday on this text. We also preached a message in 2017 titled The Day of God. And we've also preached at least a few titled The Day of the Lord. When we come to the scriptures, we find that there's, I like to look at it overall as the days of God. And I'm thinking about preaching a message on that. And included in the days of God, 2 Corinthians 6:2, we would have what is called the day of salvation, which is now, the day of salvation. We also, as we just read here in our text in Hebrews, the last days. But in John 11:24, and we'll turn there in a moment and read it, there's what is called the last day. Talk about that in just a few moments. But then we have the day of God, or the day of eternity, here in 2 Peter 3. Now notice 2 Peter chapter 3, and just coming down to verse 3, he said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." As we read through 2 Peter, especially chapter 2, and all of chapter 3, we find that these scoffers were living in the time that Peter writes in the first century. But notice toward the end of the chapter, he's speaking of that eternal day. He said in verse 12, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless," verse 13, "nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So we have a reference here not only to the last days in verse 3, but we also have a reference to the day of God in verse 12. That's when we step into eternity. Now is the day of salvation in 2 Corinthians 6:2, as I gave you. We are living in the last days, but there is that last day that's coming. One day, which will be the second coming of Christ, and then we'll step into eternity, the day of God. Notice with me as we turn. Well, let's go to 1 John while we're closed. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. And if you're taking notes, Jude, verse 18, I believe it is. So he says here now, as we come to 1 John 2, 18 and 19, he says, "Little children, it is the last time." Now there's another expression that fits with what we're looking at. "It is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." He said in verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So we're living in the latter days, the last days. Now go with me to John chapter 12. And let's consider just for a moment the expression, "the last day." In other words, Christ coming. And again, I preached a message titled "The Last Day" in 2019. And that's all we did, is focus upon his coming, the resurrection, and judgment. Well, chapter 12, I'm going to read in verse 48. Read a few verses here in John, then we'll go back to our text. Chapter 12, verse 48, he says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him the same." Let me back up. "Has one that judges him the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Not necessarily the last days, plural, but singular, the last day. That is the coming of Christ, the resurrection of the saints, and again, the judgment upon the world. Notice this expression again as we come to chapter 6. Notice with me in chapter 6. And I want to read four verses out of chapter 6 and one in chapter 11, then we'll go back to our text. One writer put it this way in the reference to the last days. He said, "His first appearing is the beginning of the end, and with his second appearing begins the end of the end." Another writer put it this way. He said, "The whole New Testament history of salvation is the history of the end." Well, notice with me as we come to John chapter 6. And again, we're looking at now the last day singular. Speaks of the final day. And it refers to Christ coming again, the resurrection of the saints, and the judgment of sinners. And in each case we read here in John in reference to this, it speaks of the final state of affairs, the end of the world, or the end of all things as we know it, the termination of time or the present order of things. Then we step into eternity. This last day, Christ comes, the final day, and we step into eternity. It'd be like us saying, what is the last day of this year or any year? What is the last day? 31st of December. And what happens on the 31st of December? The year comes to its end. It is no more, and then a new year. And that's sort of what I think we see here in the book of John when he uses the expression, the last day. In other words, that's the end, Christ coming. The last days would cover the last 2,000 years. Now notice here in John chapter 6, first of all, and I won't even pick up the context, the Lord is presenting to them that he's the bread of life and so forth in this chapter. And he said in verse 39, he said, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Raise up the body. Raise it up again at the last day. That's his coming. Notice again in verse 40. In verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice again in verse 44, he said in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice again in verse 54, "Whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So I see that as a singular Christ coming again in the future. Now notice in chapter 11, we'll read one other verse on this and then we'll get back. Now, there's similar expressions in the Bible. For instance, the day of the Lord, like in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 4. It's referred to sometimes as the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, or it's referred to as that day. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 10, the day of Christ, that day, that glorious day when Christ will return. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8, the book we're studying, he makes the statement that he will receive a crown in that day. In other words, that particular day that Christ comes again. It's called the day of the Lord. And 2 Peter 3:10, where we didn't read that verse, but called the day of the Lord that will come as a thief in the night. So again, I want to say this again, we have the day of salvation, time in which we live. We have the opportunity to be saved. We have the last days that we're living in as well. Evidently, that means there's less time on this side of the cross than there was on the other at 4,000 years in the Old Testament. Then we have the last day, here in John, that's referring to that day, the literal return of Christ. And then we have the day of God, where we step into eternity, new heavens, new earth, and new city, New Jerusalem. All right, now notice with me as we come to John chapter 11. We read part of this chapter Wednesday night and dealing with the things that God does conceal. But I'll just cut into the text and read verse 24. And this is where Lazarus had died. Jesus has come to Mary and Martha. Verse 24, "And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection." Notice, at the last day. The resurrection will be in the last day when Christ returns. Well, let's go back to our text, make a few comments, and we will close. And come back with me here to this passage. Now, in verse 1 again, and I just want to give an introduction to this tonight. In verse 1, "This know also." In other words, this is what we can expect. Now, this shouldn't discourage us, because we'll be really encouraged toward the end of the chapter. He said, "This know also, that in the last days," some refer to this as the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the gospel, the church age. Some people refer to it in many different ways, but it's the present time in which we're living. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So we can expect these things. Now, I know we get shocked with things, but he's telling us what's going to take place. The perilous times is a general description of the last days. Beginning in verse 2, Paul gives us again a list of about 18 different characteristics of human depravity. He said, these are the things that you're going to see. Perilous times means grievous times, hard times, difficult times, times that are full of sin and trouble. Doesn't mean that we have to live in it. It's time of apostasy, people departing from faith and practice. It even describes enemies of the truth as we read through this chapter. And it speaks of oppositions, sufferings, and persecutions. The Apostle Paul said in verses, again, verse 10 and 11, he said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Then he said in verse 11, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Then again in verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So we see here that perilous times, the word perilous, the Greek word is actually translated fierce in Matthew 8 and verse 28, where two are possessed of devils. And so the word perilous, again, means harsh, harmful, dangerous, like a vicious or wild animal that cannot be controlled. So these things are a reality. They became a reality in Paul and Timothy's day because they wrote about this, and they are a reality in the day in which we live. So again, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and he continues on with this list. And we will look at each one of these words individually as we study this. These things in this chapter are the opposite of Christian virtues. So would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you again for this day, and we pray your blessings upon the remaining of our service. Bless our singing and our closing prayer tonight, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.